Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. Today, we get down to earth. Stories of reaping what you sow, our September 26 show, and our grounding Rose Room debut. First up, featured storyteller Marty Camberlengo finds concrete inspiration overseas to till the soil in urban Idaho.
I first wanted to thank Jessica and Dan and everybody else that put this on. It's a wonderful event, and give them a round of applause. And I also wanted to thank all you people for showing up, because it wouldn't be an awesome event if no one showed up. And this is why I love Boise, Idaho, right here, you know? And let me tell you, I didn't always like Boise, Idaho. I was actually just like, I was one of those punk rock kids at Dawson Taylor's with a studded belt, you know? And I hated Boise. And I wanted to get out of here. And I did. And it kept sucking me back like a black hole. You've probably heard this before. And if you're from California and you just moved here and you're like, wow, I love this place. I didn't realize it. When we're raised here, we like leave and we hate it. And then that's what I did. And I ended up in Seoul, Korea, pretty far away. You had a good time. So it was a city of like 10 million people, and there was concrete everywhere. And I felt like I was in a concrete cage. And it almost seemed as if the future was paved. There was no dirt. And it was like the first time I got there, and they showed me where I was going to work, and then they took me to where I was going to live, and I was like trying to find out. I got to get to work in the next day, so I'm looking at all the buildings trying to get my bearings, and it all looked pretty similar to me. And I couldn't read, so I couldn't see any signs. And there was a McDonald's by my work, but there was a lot of McDonald's in Seoul. And so, like, I got on the bus the first day. I got on the bus, and I rode around and went right back to where I got on the bus. That was my trip. That's how it was in Seoul, Korea for me. And the other part was, there is no cheese in Korea. You could find it in the foreign section at special markets, but if you just go to the regular grocery store, they don't have cheese. Well, I found out in Korea, I need cheese. It makes me feel human. And it was like, you know, I wasn't right unless I had pizza. They do have good pizza in Seoul. And so, like, what I became fascinated and was the most interesting thing was old women, old Korean women, would grow gardens everywhere, on the side of the train tracks, in empty lots, in a crack in the sidewalk. They would have a cucumber. It was amazing. And then they would lay out their blankets in the road and sell their vegetables on their blanket. And I thought that was so cool. And I came back to Boise, and I was like, wow, it's not so bad here. We got open space. You can see when the sun's coming up. It's over there behind the mountains. Not a building or something in the way. And I came back, and I became a organic farmer. And I started by doing just what those old Korean ladies did. I started growing stuff in old empty lots, and there's lots of them in Boise, Idaho. And I encourage all of you to go out and find an empty lot and start your own garden. But be careful. Those old Korean ladies, they walk like that for a reason. So watch what you wish for.
This week, Story Story Night teams up with Stories of Our City for a special two-day event called the Idaho Justice Story Festival, or Just Stories. Listen for a change with a special Story Story Night held on Friday, October 7th, featuring six incredible speakers on the theme Justice, followed by a day of films from the New York Peace Film Festival on Saturday, October 8th. Tickets are only $7 for Story Story Night, $10 for the festival only, or $15 for both nights. Purchase tickets in advance at juststoriesfestival.org or at the door. Just Stories will be held at Trademark Church on the corner of Eastman and 18th in Boise's North End. Now, Story Slam winner Justinian Morton digs up close encounters with the McCormick Reaper.
Okay, so last time I ended up doing this, it was not such a theme sort of thing. And I don't know if you remember when Family Guy first came on and every episode had a sort of a moral and you learned a lesson at the end of it and how funny that was. It wasn't. So hopefully these won't be all sort of morally. I tried to think of something that was reaping what you sowed and that didn't make me seem like a terrible person at the end, and couldn't really think of any. So I thought about doing one about the earth theme and maybe telling a story about one time when I buried myself accidentally, and I still end up looking like a terrible person and maybe a little stupid as well. So I started thinking about the whole reaping and sowing. So I thought I'd tell you a story about the McCormick Reaper. My father was born in 1909, and so essentially I grew up around the turn of the century because he just sort of did the same things to me that he grew up with. So I grew up on a little farm up in Roby Creek, and we dry farmed wheat, if you can believe that that can be done in Roby Creek. And we did so using the turn of the century methods that he himself had grown accustomed to, because his father was born in the 1840s. Everyone in my family has basically had kids in their late 40s to mid 60s. So we go back almost to the 1700s in three generations. Seriously. So my father thought that probably the Russians were going to come and he should have a self-sufficient farm up in the mountains. So prior to around the 1920s, there was like over 300 varieties of wheat being grown in the United States. There's now essentially two, and they're hybrids of each other. And the reason for this is because of combines. Before combines, you'd go through the field with a thing called a reaper. And McCormick Reaper revolutionized wheat harvest. Basically, it's got a big paddle wheel that pulls the wheat into a line of cutters. The wheat falls down onto a canvas belt, which it was my job to sew. So I sewed what I reaped. It would go up the platform and into a tire that would tie a twine around it and make a knot. And actually, a distant relative of mine was the person who figured out the machine that tied it. Because before that, they had platform binders, and there was a guy whose job it was to stand on the end of the thing and tie a string around it. And so it drops these bundles in the field. Now, you can't do that with a combine, goes through the field, cuts the thing off, sends it into a threshing machine, and it threshes it. Well, for that to happen, you have to have a tiny little wheat head. If you have a great big luscious wheat head that has to ripen, eventually what happens is it bends over, and the combine comes along and it cuts off a piece of straw, and you don't get any wheat. So they had to make all these varieties of wheat go away, and they are left with ones that dry standing up with a little tiny head. So we harvested wheat the old-fashioned way, which is that you cut it off, you take the bundles, and you stack them up in shocks, and then you put them all inside a stationary threshing machine at the end of it, and you thresh the wheat. which unfortunately my job was to stand in front of the threshing machine with a grain fork, and this machine spat. I don't know if you've ever eaten any foxtails or dirt. Back to the earth again. The machine would spit out literal tons of chaff, wheat beards, and dust. And it was my job to pitch these from in front of the machine with a fork. So that, and to maintain the binder. Now, our binder was made around 1910. It was a McCormick Reaper. It was one of the very first ones, and it was originally a piece of horse-drawn equipment that we pulled behind our tractor, which was a 1928 case. It was a antique tractor pulling an even more antique piece of machinery. And we would bundle up the wheat, and then we would shock the wheat, and then we'd go with a bundle wagon, and we'd build these Dutch haystacks, which is a haystack that's bigger at the top than it is at the bottom, and you thatch the top so that if it rains, the water goes off the sides. And once the wheat is dry, then you pitch it into the stationary threshing machine, and if you have a small 8-year-old boy, you position him in front of this machine with a pitchfork, and he hates you forever. And so I'm covered with the earth. I am being thrown at what the reaper has reaped, and I suppose I'm reaping what I've sown, because I had to plant the stuff as well using a seed drill. And that's basically the story of me and the McCormick Reaper.
Thank you for listening. Story Night is brought to you in part by presenting partner the Boise State Story Initiative, venue partner The Rose Room, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at boisestatepublicradio.org. The Story Night theme and podcast production are by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Remember to mark our October 24 show, This Idaho Life, Stories of the State We're In, on your calendar. A special tribute night to Ira Glass and This American Life. Learn more at storystorynight.org.